The following session is from the 2016 NCHE Thrive Homeschool Conference. For additional recordings, visit nche.com.
All right. This session's for the diehards. Yeah? The ones who made it clear to the last session of the conference, and you're still standing. This is good. This is good. This isn't the last session? It is. Okay. Just checking. All right. My father grew up on a farm in Iowa where he tended the chickens and the crops and the cows, but what he really loved were horses. And so it stood to reason that when he got married and established his own homestead, he had horses. And I grew up watching my father raise and train horses. I learned a lot of things about horses and about life. I learned about cooperation. Are you all familiar with horses doing you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours? Have you seen them do that? Like this is the head and this is the head and they stand side by side, opposite ends. Then they each reach their head over and scratch the other one's back. You watch for it. You'll see it sometime. I also learned an important lesson about you don't have to put up with leaners. Whenever you go to clean the horse's hoof or to trim the horse's hoof, some horses are fine. You give them a little push, they shift all their weight to the other three legs and they lift up the one you want, and it's not a big deal. But some other horses are leaners. You give them a shove, you lift up that horse's leg, and they put all their weight on you. It's lean, and that's pretty heavy. So you have to learn what to do about leaners. I learned all these things from my time in nature. My time there shaped who I became. And I'm afraid a lot of our children today are missing this element. A lot of our children are getting nature secondhand, always through panes of glass, whether it's the windows of the house or the windows of the van or a computer screen. And all they know about nature is what they can see. They don't know that when you get out in nature, it's completely different because all of your senses are involved, not just sight. You smell things you never smell anywhere else. You feel things. And you can even taste things. Yes. Time in nature is so important. And I'm afraid some of our children would agree with a little fourth grader from San Diego who said, I like playing indoors better because that's where all the electrical outlets are. They are missing out. They are missing out on wonderful lessons for life. Charlotte Mason recognized the value of nature and the things that can be learned from nature. She said this, we become prepared by the quiet schooling of nature to walk softly and to do our duty towards man and towards God. When we first get out into nature, we start walking softly just from a practical standpoint. We learn pretty quickly that if you tromp through outdoors talking as loud as you can, you're not going to see very much because most of the critters are going to run. But if you can move softly, you'll be able to see a whole lot more. But soon, that practical walk softly mushrooms into a different attitude and a different reason for walking softly. Soon, as we get more familiar with nature, we start to realize how great and grand God's creation is and how small we are in comparison. And we start to walk softly out of respect for the greatness of God's creation. But along with walking softly, Charlotte said we also learn to do our duty toward man. That puzzled me. How on earth can time in nature help us realize our duty toward man? And then it dawned on me as I read more of what she had to say and pondered it a little bit more. You see, when we spend time carefully observing nature, watching it over time and learning all we can from it, we start to have a real appreciation for other people who have spent time observing and have written their observations down for us. You see, our duty toward our fellow man is to respect him as a person and to show love to him, to appreciate him for what he has done. And that is what time in nature can do in a scientific level. We can appreciate all of the time and effort another person put into giving us science truths when we have experienced what it's like to sit and observe and record and wait and watch. So it helps us do our duty toward our fellow man. But even more than that, time in nature helps us with our duty toward God. What is our duty toward God? To worship him, to love him, to honor him, to recognize what he has done for us. And we can tell our children, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork, till we are blue in the face. But once they actually get out there and see God's handiwork for themselves, that's when it touches their emotions. You know what it's like. Have you ever been outside to actually see the stars that won't quit? The sky that just keeps going and going and going? And you bow in reverence because it touches your emotions. That's when you really understand it. It gets to your heart, not just your head. And it fires your imagination. You can't even comprehend what you are seeing. And that's when we are expressing true worship to our Father. That's what we want our children to have. We want them to have time in nature. But Charlotte said one more thing about time in nature. It helps us learn to walk softly and to do our duty toward man and to do our duty toward God. But it also helps us get life back into focus. There's something about going outside and stopping, pausing, breathing, just being, that resets us physically and emotionally. Time in nature is a great way to get life back into perspective. When you have burdens that just weigh you down and they seem to loom so large, getting out into nature can help you put that all in perspective and see God is still on the throne. He is still much bigger than my problems, however big they may loom in front of my eyes right now. And we also learn things about life out there. We learn that even when it's cloudy, the sun is still shining. Is it not? We learn that there are seasons in life and things change. A good friend of mine just had her oldest son get married yesterday. I noticed she just texted me the pictures of his wedding. And that was difficult for her. She and that son are like this, so close. She's happy for him, but it's going to leave a huge hole in her home now. Nothing's going to be the same from here out. But she has a beautiful garden that she tends. And that garden helps her remember the truth that there are seasons in life and things do change, but God is in control of it all. We also learn that if we do not plant the flowers and carefully tend them, the weeds are going to grow in their place. And we learn it's best to pull weeds when they're small, don't we? All these things we can learn. And so we can sit here and say, yep, that's right. It's good to get out in nature. But I ain't going. Charlotte Mason knew the importance of nature, and so she put into her schedule for her classrooms, her students, the ones at home and in the classroom, once every week, for a half day every week, those kids went outside to spend time in nature and do nature study. And I thought, that's a great idea. I want to do that. And so I would put it on my schedule. And I would come to that schedule, and we'd do everything else. And I'd look at the nature study and say, maybe next week. It's too hot. We'll do that next week. And next week we'd come to it in the schedule, and I'd look at it and say, it's too cold. Next week. And it's so easy to push that off and push that off and push that off. Some of the reason we push it off is because we forget how valuable it can be. It's more than just a science thing. It's a life lesson, a life shaper. But I think another one of the reasons is something I stumbled upon. I felt like when I would go outside, I felt like I was going to a party where I didn't know anybody. I didn't know their names. My kids would come up and say, "What's that?" I'd say, "I don't know." They'd say, "What's this over here?" I'd say, "I have no clue." And we'd stay out there what seemed like an interminable amount of time. Finally, it's been 15 minutes. Is that long enough? Yeah, I think so. "We're going in, kids. Let's go in." We'd go in, we'd close the door, I'd breathe a sigh of relief, we made it. And then it would dawn on me, I have to do this again next week. And nature study just felt overwhelming to me, because all of this stuff in nature, shouldn't I know it all before I go out there? Then it dawned on me that Charlotte was all about forming relations. And a relationship is something that grows gradually over time. It is not something you have instantaneously with everyone. And so maybe I could not know everyone at the party, but I could start with one. I could figure out the name of this one nature friend, if you will, at the party. And more than just learning that one's name. See, the name in a relationship is only the beginning. I can learn your name, but it is when I spend time over a length of time. When we go out for lunch every once in a while. When I check in and say, "What's new in your life? What's happening now? How are you responding to it?" That's when the relationship grows. And it's the same with nature. We can learn the name of the item, but that's only the beginning. Let's go back and revisit and see what's happening to it during the different seasons of life. Learn its habits. What does it do? When does it do it? How does it do it? And from all that, maybe we can figure out why it's doing that. That's when it's a relationship. And so you can learn that with one nature friend this year. Is that obtainable? You can do that. Okay, once you've got one down, maybe you can branch out and make friends with a couple more. And pretty soon, this is going to start multiplying and multiplying, so that when you go out into nature, you know 5 friends already. And you're just adding one more. And you go check on the 5 you already know and see what's happening with them. And you just add one more. Now it's not so scary. And now it is a natural process, the way Charlotte intended it to be. How do you do that? Well, you get a nature sketchbook, just a blank sketchbook for each person. Yes, that includes mom and dad. You get your own. And then get some field guides to help you learn names. If you can find a regional field guide, that's going to be even better. That helps narrow down what you might be seeing. So grab those. Then, here's the hard part. Step number 2, are you ready? Go outside. That's the hard part, but you can do it. Once a week, go outside with your little sketchbooks and look around and start forming nature friends. Your sketchbook, your nature journal, is going to be simply a record of your growing relationship with different things in nature. Now, sometimes what happens is you got your sketchbook, you're ready to go. You go out that door, and what do I do now? I'm looking around, nothing's moving. Well, here are some places you might focus your observation. Focus your observation up on the heavens and the seasons as they change, the weather itself. You can focus your observation on the insects You know, the Bible says, go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. There's a reason we observe nature. The Bible itself recognizes the value in it. You can learn a lot from insects, but it takes patience to observe them carefully. So look for different insects. Look for birds. What kind of birds are coming through? Maybe they're migrating through. Maybe they stay here all year round. Which ones are here when? What do they like best to eat? Do they have different colors of feathers in the spring than they do in the fall? What kind of call do they do when they are threatened by another bird or a predator? What kind of call do they do when they're just singing? All these things you can observe. Another fun thing that Charlotte's students did was called bird stalking. And it was all done by ear. So you would learn the call the bird makes, and you would very carefully, silently, try to track it close enough where you could see it and what it was doing, but you're always following it by ear. Also, look for animals. Any kind of animals out there. My daughter and I were recently at one of my favorite parks where we go to do nature study, and we were just sitting there for a moment, and this is my autistic daughter who doesn't usually say much. And she suddenly turned to me and volunteered some information, and it was like, whoa! She turned and she said, there's a black snake on the playground. I looked, it was a beautiful, beautiful, it was probably 4 foot long, just gorgeous, gorgeous black snake. I was so thankful. It's like, yes, there is, it's pretty, yeah. Yeah, I didn't have my notebook with me, but it's a snapshot in my head, you know? It's there. It's there. And then also look at the plants, the trees, the flowers. The Bible says consider the lilies, how they grow. All these things in nature can remind you of God's faithfulness, as well as the great scientific learning that comes from it. Now, here's an example of one lady's nature notebook. This one intimidates me. Mine does not look like this. This one is a facsimile of a nature journal that was kept in, I believe, 1904 by a lady named Edith Holden. And the book is called The Country Diary of an Edwardian Lady. Yeah, I don't show this one to my kids because it's hard to beat that, you know? It's like, I can't do that. I'm not even going to try. But I can show them some other types of journals. Here's a more modern version. This lady who draws these, Claire Walker Leslie is her name, and she has some great books that are very encouraging for getting you past the hump of my nature journal has to look perfect, and just recording your experiences and what you see. She has a great tip in there about when you go out, look high, look mid-range, and look down. And look, do your observing on different planes as well as just it, what's in front of your face. Look all through that. She has also this great one. They were watching this wolf. I don't know if you can read that. She says, a see-nothing day when tawny buff marsh grasses becomes a coyote. Let me see what it's saying. Something, oh, Anna noticed the yellow eyes. Did he or she have something under a paw? Watches us. So it's just little snippets to help her replay that scene in her mind and the questions she was asking as she observed. That's not scary to do. Aside from she's a great artist when she just dashes that off and makes my art look really sad. But that's okay. It's not about the art. It's about my relationship with nature. And it has started growing by leaps and bounds the last 3 years because I've been doing stuff like this. This is one of my daughter's nature journals. We planted a seed in a pot. And she just would go back and revisit it every couple of weeks and sketch its progress. Always dating her drawing so we would know how long it was between each one and just watch it go. Those of you who are living in the middle of town, yes, you can do nature study, even if it's just planting something in a pot Watch for birds outside your window. Watch for squirrels. This is my nature journal. Do you like my Gosling? That's about as good as it gets, folks. That's it. Okay? But, see, the thing is, when you go outside to do nature study, I know you're reading the entry. Hang on, I'll tell you about it. I'm going to back up in a minute here. Okay. When you go outside to do nature study, there is no guarantee this is going to be a red letter day. And that's what's hard for some of us, too. It's like, how do I know I'm not wasting my time here? You know? But then there are experiences that happen unexpectedly because you made it a priority to go there, to pause, to watch, to listen, to breathe, to attend, and to learn. We went to a favorite place, that favorite park of mine, and it has this great bridge going over a pond. And in the pond, there are turtles. And so we like to watch the turtles. And this one particular year, there was a pair of Canada geese, and they had had goslings. We haven't seen them since, so this was a special thing this one year. And when we went that one particular afternoon, the Canada geese and the goslings were swimming close to the bridge. All of a sudden, one of the geese, and I think it was the male, just reared up and flapped his wings like this and hissed and went like that at everybody. And we thought, what on earth is going on? So we looked closely, and all the little turtles were gone. But rising from the depths, the murky depths of this pond, was a huge snapping turtle. We call him the behemoth turtle. He was just, I mean, his tail is like this long. He was just huge. And he had surfaced right by one of those goslings. And the papa was protecting. That was such a cool experience. But you know, when we got in the van to go, we didn't know that was going to happen. You have to make it a priority, even though you never know what's going to happen. Because things will happen if you go faithfully. Another way to keep a nature journal is to take photographs. Charlotte Mason didn't say much about digital photography or about blogging your nature growth, but that's another way to do it. This is a great nature blog where people are invited to post. They can post what they have painted themselves or drawn themselves. If you have a child who is reluctant to draw or cannot draw in a nature notebook, give them a digital camera, let them take pictures, but then do something with those pictures. Either have the pictures posted on their blog. It can be a private one, just for family, if you're concerned about security. Put it up there and then have them put a caption with it or put an article with it describing what they observed about that animal or that plant or whatever it is. You want them to describe what they are learning, not just slap a picture up there and say, I'm done, check it off the list. All right? Another way that digital photography is very helpful is with the little critters that won't stand still. Have you noticed they have this bad habit of running off when you're trying to draw them or flying away? It's very inconsiderate. But if you can take a good picture of them, bring it inside. This works really well when it's hot, by the way. Now, let me just give you this, okay? Grace, Charlotte did not live in the south of America. Charlotte lived in England. Their weather is different. So don't feel like you have to go out there and put your health in jeopardy by dehydrating yourself, okay? But if it's a hot day, you could go out, take a digital picture, bring it back inside, and put it up on your computer screen. Blow it up nice and large, and then draw or sketch from that photo into your nature notebook. Yes, you could just paste the photo in, but oh, you learn so much more by slowing down and taking the time to draw it yourself. So I encourage you to do that. Now, where to start? Start in your own yard. These are Shasta daisies. I know that because I planted them there. Start there. Go to a plant nursery. Everything is labeled. It's a great place to start. And while you're out there, so we go out and we observe. These daisies were just starting to bloom when I left home a couple weeks ago. I'm eager to see what they look like tomorrow when I get home. And I'll be home for a day and then I'm leaving again. But I get to check on them and see what they look like then. And I have a good feel for when they are going to bloom, when they're going to pop. And when we're out there looking on these things, sometimes we come across spontaneous surprises again. So keep your eyes open. This was the eastern box turtle that we found. And I just, again, my daughter saw one just a couple days ago when we were home, actually. It was hiding under one of these daisies, and it actually had its head out and its legs out that time. So it was. We all sat there and stared at the thing. I bet he felt really self-conscious, but he was fine. Then once you know what's in your yard, that can take a long time, by the way, if you're going to really form a relation with what's in your yard. Let me back up a second. There was a tree. I was challenged to learn the names of the trees in my own yard before I branched out. And so we would go around the yard, and I knew there was a beech tree there. Yeah, it was beech. An American beech tree. So I would go out every week, and yep, it's still there. That's all I thought of, you know? It's like, okay, it's a beech tree. What am I supposed to be doing with this beech tree? But over time, I began to watch it change during the seasons. And so once you know and are familiar with and have a relation with the things in your own yard, branch out and you can go to your favorite places. This is the park I was telling you about with the bridge and the pond that has the turtles in it. Now, one day, when we were standing there leaning on the railing watching the turtles, there was suddenly all of the turtles turned around and swam away. We weren't sure what was happening, and then Behemoth Snapping Turtle came up right in the middle there. And so we were just watching this drama play out. And there was one little turtle who was swimming along. You could tell he was a little newbie. He had no clue. He was just swimming along happily, looking around, not paying attention, going right for that Behemoth Snapping Turtle. And we watched what would happen, and all of a sudden he realized what was in front of him. And he just turned on a dime. I mean, he about went sideways like this, trying to get out of the way of the big snapping turtle. My autistic daughter really latched onto that scene. And so I wrote out what she said about it, and she drew the turtle. This is when she was probably about 15 years old. This is what her drawing skills are like. But you know what? That's okay. That's her turtle. And that is a permanent part of my nature notebook and her nature notebook now. So I wrote down what she told me to about the experience. In this park, we go at different seasons. And so we see what it looks like in the spring. We see what it looks like in the fall and winter. Just over this bridge and around the curve is my favorite tree in the whole wide world, because it teaches me about adversity and overcoming adversity. Look at that. Isn't it amazing? All these wonderful truths are tucked into nature if we will just slow down and look and listen and observe and learn. And when you really get hooked on this, you start looking on your vacations too. I went for a real nice retreat on the beach, and I was hooked all the time walking up and down that sand. I was looking for nature things. It was great learning about all of this, and I was sketching them all in my nature notebook. I thought the prints were just so cool. And then I figured out this is a tennis shoe print. Yeah, you saw it, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. It's okay, though. I'm learning, you know? This was a learning experience. But it's all because we go out, we pause, we breathe, we be for a while. And sometimes that's hard for us to do. We feel like we're wasting our time. but we're not. I think God wants us to get closer to his creation so that he can speak loudly through it. See, when we are surrounded by the things man has made, that's where we are right now. Look around. Everything you see here is what man has made, except for the people. When we take time to step out into nature, now we are surrounded by what God has made. It's a huge difference. Those of you who have special needs children, this is even more important for them. My daughter with autism has a special waiting place that she loves to go. She has autism, pervasive developmental delays, speech delays, sensory processing disorders. And going out into nature is a safe place for her because it's not everything coming at her. Those of you who are familiar with autistic theories may have heard of the intense world theory. And the theory is that everything in the senses is heightened in an autistic child, so that if I move, it looks 100 times as fast to her, and that's why she cringes if I just touch out. And if I hug her, it feels that much more pressure. And if she smells something, if I can smell it, she can smell it about 100 times more. And taste, and all of these things. That's one of the theories. And so going out in nature is a much safer place. She feels more at peace there. The noises aren't as loud. The movements are not as scary. And every once in a while, we get a rare smile. Those of you who have ADHD children especially, there are studies that have been done that giving your child 30 minutes in nature every day can help reduce that activity level, can help them calm themselves. In fact, there's an interesting article. There was a magazine that reprinted this article about a little boy who, it was back in 1907, and the little boy was just completely active, active, active. His teachers had called him hyperactive. They kicked him out of school because they didn't know what to do with him. And his parents were at their wits' end. They did not know what to do with him. But they had noticed how time in nature soothed him and calmed him. And so they just started taking him to different places. They took him to the beach. They took him to the mountains. They took him to the desert. They took him to the woods. Anywhere they could in nature. That little boy was Ansel Adams, who grew up to be one of the pioneers of nature photography. And he helped in the establishment and preservation of our national parks. See, you never know what time in nature can do for your children. It is not time wasted. It is very important time. Charlotte Mason, this is what was outside her back door. See, nature study starts with wherever you are. And Charlotte herself would go outside every single day and spend hours out there. Even when she became an invalid in her later years and she could no longer do her nature hikes and walks, she would go for nature drives in a horse and carriage. Not in the horse. In the carriage drawn by a horse. Okay, yes. Because she knew that a horse would not scare away all the nature stuff like a car would. And so she would go out every afternoon to do her nature study. She knew that nature teaches us things that nothing else can. We become prepared by the quiet schooling of nature. So I encourage you to give your children that preparation for life. Give them leisure time outside where they can look and listen, observe and learn about God, about their fellow man, about life itself. One resource that might be helpful to you, We have a new nature notebook. As I said, my problem was I would go outside and it'd be, okay, I see the tree. What am I supposed to be looking for? And I wouldn't have a clue. But I have a friend. Her name is Karen. And she is my nature study guru. She is wonderful at nature study. And whenever she comes to visit, she visits me at my house about twice a year, stays for a few weeks. And when we go out to do nature study together, it's a whole different world because she tells me what kinds of things to look for. It's like when she comes in October, okay, it's fall. These are the types of things. For birds, look at this type of thing. In trees, look at this type of thing. Look for these. And then when she comes in the spring, it's spring now, look for this and this and this. Made a whole world of difference. So I said, Karen, would you please brain download everything you've got? And so she sat down and just started listing all these things to look for during the different seasons. And we put that in this nature journal. It is organized by the four seasons, and each of those four seasons has 13 weekly prompts. And it repeats many of them over the different seasons. So you're going to look at trees every season, but the prompt is going to tell you what to look for during this season. And now, what do you look for in trees during this season? So you'll go back and revisit those nature friends and see what's happening in their lives and form that long-term relation with each of your nature friends. That's called journaling a year in nature. We have some down in our booth. I think we only have a few left, but feel free to take a look if that would be helpful to you. The other resource is Hours in the Out of Doors. This is Charlotte's own words. Everything she said about nature study and the value of it and how to do it. That's in this book. If that would be helpful to you, please take a look at that in our booth as well. You'll find links to a bunch of stuff here at this short URL, simplycm.com/workshop. Nature is this one. In the back of that nature notebook, by the way, and I think it's on this page as well. Someone can check if you got your phone. Pull it up and see. We list our favorite field guides, apps, and websites to help you form these relations and learn the different names. Again, Charlotte did not leave us a list of good apps. But there are some great ones out there that can really help you narrow down what you're looking at, so you can at least learn the name first and then start forming that relation. Okay? Any questions? Congratulations. You have made it to the end of the conference sessions. Good job. If anyone has any of those clipboards that we started passing around, if you can just pop them here on this black table on your way out, that would be very helpful. Go ahead. Oh, hang on, everybody. If you're from North Carolina, you want to hear this.
Another resource. Okay, go.
There are free workshops through the Environmental Education with the state of North Carolina and also through North Carolina Wild. There's one for younger children called Growing Up Wild. They will come if you have a group for free, teach you, give you the free materials, and it's a fabulous resource. Look, there's events that occur in state parks and county parks for your children that are free. You don't have to do anything but show up, whether it's about butterflies or caterpillars or snakes. They will do everything for you, and you don't have to touch anything. We hope that you learn to, but they're great resources for all of these things. Okay, maybe I can get it to you, and you could put it on your website. Okay, that might be the easiest thing to do.
Or if you want to come on down to the booth, and we'll just write it out there, too, so you can swing by and get it in writing. Yeah. Any other good resources we know of you want to share? Community rec centers often have? Fayetteville in the parks. Hang on, I'm coming over with the mic.
All right, at least in Fayetteville, in the different parks, And the Cumberland County Rec Center or Cumberland County Parks and Recreation, they will put on different things like that. Like they'll have a night looking at fireflies, or you'll take a nature walk. So just check out your local parks.
Nice. Great. Okay. Thanks for coming.